Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
You may take your seats. My name is Andrew Collins. I am the pastor of Family Ministries here at The Vine. It is good to be with you this morning in this Christmas season. Merry Christmas. We are almost there. Our fourth Advent Sunday. We have been walking through Galatians 4 and all of its goodness, and we're going to continue to do that this morning. So you guys can go ahead and flip open to Galatians 4. That's where we'll start this morning. We have been walking through, like I said, this Advent series of Galatians 4, and we've been looking at three things so far, and we'll look at a fourth this morning. The first was, it starts with, in the fullness of time, Christ came. God sent forth His Son. And so we looked at that the very first week, that God has sent His Son in the fullness of time that He sent His Son. And then we looked at that He was born of a woman, that He put on flesh, that He became like us, God incarnate. And then we looked at that He was born under the law, born under the same burden to keep the law that we did and kept it perfectly. And then this week, as we continue through, you see the next thing. Why did He do all of those things? To redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer slaves, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You know, Galatians 4, 4 through 7 is a beautiful gem of the gospel. In just a couple verses, it shows us the reason Jesus came, what He was sent for, to redeem us, to deliver us from sin and the penalty of death, to rename us, to give you and me a last name change, to make us His own, to bring us into His family. And then the last thing that we're going to look at a lot this morning is to bring the orphan home. God had sent Jesus to bring His family home. So again, when the fullness of time had come, thousands of years leading up to this point, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that you and I might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent His Spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You see, the Christmas story is the beginning of our adoption story. God coming for you and for me to claim us, to grab us. That's the Christmas story. So I want us to see and savor the beautiful story of our adoption this morning. And I want you to show you this morning, before we move into the process of adoption, that what was the motivation of God in the adoption? To make us sons and daughters of the King. I think sometimes we can start to believe that God begrudgingly made us part of His family, or was forced into it, or for some reason had to choose us, like we were the last kid on the dodgeball team, right? And it was like, fine, we'll take him. That's not God's attitude towards us. God's attitude toward us is that He moved toward you and me in joy. Joy this morning. And I'll show you that from three different texts, and I want to show you that it's the triune God. It's not just God the Father. It's not just Jesus the Son. It's not just God the Holy Spirit. It's all three of them working together for joy. Okay? So the first one, the Father, out of joy, sent His Son. Ephesians 1:5 shows us this. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the pleasure of his will. With his what? With the pleasure of his will. God sent the Son not begrudgingly, but out of love and in accordance with the pleasure of his will for you and for me. And then we see the Son, out of joy, came and left, sent to us to be a sacrifice, putting on flesh and dying our death, atonement for our sin. We see this in Hebrews 12:2. The scripture tells us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for what? The joy set before him, endured the cross. You and I were in the eye of Jesus as he was carrying the cross up the hill to be hung on it. As he hung there, he was seeing you and me for the joy set before him. You and I were part of that family. Why did he come? Out of joy, knowing that you and I were going to be part of the family of God, paying for our sin, making it possible for us to be a part of his family. And then last, God the Spirit, out of joy, sent to us to be a seal, an active reminder, and a catalyst of our new nature. Romans 8:15 shows us this again. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit sent to us also out of joy to point us back to our joy that we have in the Father and to what Jesus has done out of joy. Joy has motivated the triune God to come for you. And I mean that personally. I don't mean like you all, but although yes, you all. But you personally. Again, it wasn't like you were in a big room full of thousands of people and he kind of missed you. You personally. He saw you. We were the prized possession of all the planning, logistics, sufferings, losses of the Father. Joy motivated the triune God. So when we look at adoption, I want to talk through what does that process look like? What does it look like when we talk about the process of adoption? We know that there are human terms that we understand adoption to mean, and there's some crossover between that and our spiritual adoption. So the process, both in human terms, but also some crossovers to the spiritual term of adoption, there's two words that come up for me. One is intensive. Adoption is intensive. If anyone has been through the process, the time frames are all over the place. It's intensive. Legally, there's so much that has to be done. The steps, the meetings, the forms, the paperwork is long. The binding of people and families together is long. It's intensive. It takes time. You notice how the first part of this verse that we just read started, right? In the fullness of time. Thousands of years waited. So intensive. I think the process of adoption is intensive, and we see that from Scripture. We also see that it's expensive. It's expensive in a human way, and it's expensive in a spiritual way. There's sacrifice, there is loss, there is cost. In a human sense, there's obviously money that has been spent. There's loss of spending time at your job and needing to go and see. There's all kinds of sacrifice that has to be made. The same is true of God the Father. He has sent Jesus to us, sacrificing his only Son. The loss of fellowship, perfect fellowship that he had with the Son. And sacrifice of the Son, the cost. You know, I think about the hidden nursery and this idea that, you know, a couple prepares a nursery for their adopted child, maybe. Fresh paint, a crib assembled with care, stuffed animals arranged on the shelf. A visitor walks in and says, "How beautiful." And they mean that. But they don't know what's behind that. They don't see the whole room. They don't see the thousands of dollars that were spent. They don't see the invasive home studies that were done. They don't see the legal battles, They don't see all the timelines that change, the international flights maybe, or the language barrier, or just a cultural navigation. They don't see any of that. I think the same thing can be true of us at Christmas. When we see a manger scene at Christmas, we see the beauty in a baby, the star and the wonder. But I think we lose what's actually happening sometimes. God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit sacrifice loss. We don't see the infinite cost paid sometimes. We just have sometimes cute Christmas decorations we put up and we take down. But the Advent that we celebrate was brought with staggering sacrifice. We'll never fully comprehend. God spared no expense when he came after you, and that's what I want you to hear this morning. If you think God held back to have you, he didn't. He spared no expense. He gave his son for you. Nothing was going to stop him from having you in his family. He has fulfilled and broken down all the barriers. So we move then to this section of the text that says, okay, so they might receive, which means this morning it's being offered out to you. Some of you have taken what's to be received, and some of you have not. That they might receive or be given the right to become children of God. Jesus has come and made a way. So can you acknowledge that he has come into the world, that he was broken, died for you, and is risen? He has come and made a way. You get a chance to receive. You don't have to change or recreate yourself or remake yourself or any other thing that you think you have to do. You just receive what God has done for you. John 1, 9 through 13 is our other text that will show us a lot more here in the same way about adoption. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Received and given the right. I want you to ask yourself, how many of us want to be children of God? And I'm truly asking, how many of you want to be a child of God? I think there are some that maybe hear that question and they're kind of like, maybe. I don't know. There are some that are like, yeah, sounds pretty good. And there are others that are on your knees wishing it was last week that it happened. Because you know what it means. You see the benefits, the privileges of a right to become a child. He has come. Will you reject the offer to all that would receive him? Now, before I repeat it again, because I know some of you in here are now getting in your mind maybe theological categories, okay? Predestination, whatever. Pause for a second, okay? Just read the text. To all that would receive him. Will you receive him? Okay, so let's say you receive him. That's the offer. You receive him to become a child of the king. You become adopted into the family of God. You're given that right. What are the privileges? What comes with that? And I'm going to do my best to present to you the benefits and allow the Spirit to encourage you and prove it to you. The first one is that your nature changes. This is only a privilege if you sit in here and you realize the depth of pain and loss and hurt that your sinful nature brings to you. the separation from God the Father. Your nature has been changed if you become a son of the King. Spiritually dead to spiritually alive, made alive in God, given the life of God, breathed by the Spirit, we are spiritually alive eternally. Not spiritually dead eternally, but spiritually alive. Our nature changes. We are now found in Christ. Everything about who we are is found in Christ. Holy, righteous. That's your nature changed. Well, the second privilege is a change of disposition. I don't know for you, but I'm assuming this was the case. When you became a believer, all of a sudden, you started noticing that your heart was desiring different things. Your disposition changed. The things that you wanted were changing. That was the Spirit working in our hearts to change what we desire. And again, like I said with the first privilege, if you believe what the world can offer us will give you more than what God is offering you, a change of disposition is not going to be exciting to you. But if you believe what God has given, what He has promised, what He can remake us to be, is better to go from flesh-led to Spirit-led. That's your disposition change. We have a new desire. How does this happen? God changes our nature by sending the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And there, at the very core of our being, His Spirit remains and resides. He never departs, but more than that, He transforms us. Starting from the inside and steadily working its way out over time, consuming the whole of who we are. The Spirit inside of us changes our disposition. But even more than that, it changes our language. What do I mean by that? Well, the text says, by the Spirit of the Son, what do we cry out? Abba, Father. Intimately dependent. You know, Jesus, there's one part in the Bible where Jesus uses this exact same phrase. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is on his knees, headed towards the cross, and he calls out, Abba, Father. What's happening to Jesus in that moment? You see, I think Abba, Father is seen as the cry of a child that's hurting. It's in pain. It's the same thing that's been given to us. You see, we're running to a new place. We are not orphaned anymore when we take on pain, when we go through trial, when we go through suffering. We're not orphaned anymore. We run to the Father. We don't run around to different places and things trying to find it. We run to the Father, crying, Abba, Father. And I think this is most seen in heartbreak and tragedy, illness and trial, pain. But this is the language of children of the King. What do you look like when you hit trial and suffering, heartbreak? Does the Spirit inside of you well up to say, Daddy, Father, help? You know, when a little child gets hurt, I don't think when you're standing in that room, you have to evaluate who mom and dad are. When a child falls and they scrape their knee, what immediately happens, right? Tears start to well and they're scanning. Where's mom and dad? Where's mom and dad? And the first one they find and they run. Right there. That's the heartbeat here. And it's not like a looking at mom and dad like, hey, can I come over there? Is it okay for me to come over there? Are you sure? Maybe I stay over here for another day and then I come over there. Figure it out. Like, should I bandage myself? And then you'll, like, what should I do? That doesn't happen. It's immediate. Right to the Father. Right to the mom. That's the Spirit crying out in us. It goes to the Father. It's the beauty of who you are. It's the beauty of what you've been given to run to the eternal heavenly Father, creator of the universe that's given us his name and called us his own. Theologian Michael Reeves says this, Paul holds out to us a breathtaking truth that we Christians are all given the very relationship with the Father that Jesus has always enjoyed. In other words, when Paul writes that we have received adoption as sons of God, he isn't imagining that we were given the status of being okay or sort of acceptable. We're given the matchless status of the perfect and utterly beloved Son. Never to be forgotten, never to be disowned, and never to be unloved. That's who you are now. The Spirit inside of us tells us that. We have been imprinted by the Spirit as children of the King. Our cry sounds like that of the heavenly King's children, echoing through his halls. The effect of the Spirit sent into our heart is that assurance, that refuge, that adoration of our new family, our new Father. And I'm excited. We're going to continue to talk about that over the next Christmas Eve and a week after. So I'm not going to get into that now, but I'm so the beauty of that. So the Holy Spirit in us points to the heart and actions of the Father and the Son. We see in 1 John 3:1 a connection to John 1. And I love the language here. I'm going to read this for you. 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. Great love lavished on us. I think about myself and how many times in my own life I am looking for different places and people and things to lavish love on me. And I'm looking in places and spaces that are not capable to meet the expectation to lavish love on me. Out of my own selfish desire or brokenness or hardship, whatever it is. And yet God stands here and goes, lavished love. I know it's easy to keep running over there to those things because they feel like they're going to make a difference, that they're going to change you, that they're going to be enough. But come back. I have lavished love on you. Fill yourself. Be known. You see, the orphan is seen and brought home. Given a place, a seat, a family, a refuge, a new story, a new future, a lavish love. I hope that in the midst of this holiday season, you can savor your adoption with clarity. Beholding the most amazing, unfathomable turn of events where you and I are called children of God and given all the inheritance of being co-heirs with Christ. Okay, that's a lot of flowery language, Andrew. Thanks for that. But it's not really doing anything for me. I just don't see it. I think two things could be the case here. You could be in a season that's really hard. It's hard to see how a father is caring for you and the things that you're going through, and I get it. But I want to encourage you that your position as a child and God's position as your father is not changing in your season. He is working things out for you, for your good, and for his glory. Now, I think there's also a second group of people who may say, that's not really doing anything for me, I just don't see it. And here's what I would say to you. I can't say anything. I would encourage you to pray that the Spirit would reveal God to you. I can't say enough words, do enough things, you can't talk to enough people, the Spirit of God has to reveal himself to you. Pray. Seek him. The things of God belong to the Spirit and those who have his Spirit. As I said earlier, to those whose nature and disposition have changed. They're the only ones in here that get it. It's because the Spirit has revealed it to them. There's two things that are part of adoptions that any family that has gone through this process or knows that others that have. There's two terms. And I'm going to use these terms to compare to a first advent and a second advent. The first advent, Jesus coming to us, putting on flesh. In adoption communities, there's a term called Gotcha Day. Celebrates the day where parents held their child, the day, the long-awaited end, they became a family. There are photos and tears and, I'm sure, awkward first moments. The child might be confused or scared or grieving what's left behind, but the parents look in their eyes, they're experiencing pure joy. Finally, ours. Christmas is our gotcha day. God broke into our world, took on flesh, and said, I've come for you. You're mine. Nothing is holding me back. I'm taking you with me. The incarnation was God showing up at the orphanage. He's here to take us home. There's a second term in the adoption community that's also known as coming home day. There's another day adoptive families talk about, like I said, the day they walk through the front door as a complete family. The child sees their room for the first time, sits at the table, belongs at the house. Everything was prepared is now theirs to experience. The second advent is our coming home day. We're going home. Jesus has gone. He literally says he's gone to prepare a place for us. You have a home. We're going that direction. We are on a journey. He's got us. And now we're going home. And one day you will enter that door of your Father's house. You will sit at his table and you will feel what it means to belong and dwell in the fullness of who you were meant to be. It's your coming home day. Don't let your soul and heart be orphaned this Christmas. If you're a child of God, just sit and remember your story. We all have adoption stories spiritually here. There was a day where you were made part of God's family, where all of the things, the privileges I just talked about, were extended out to you. You did nothing. I did nothing. They were just given. Like he says in the passage, that we might receive the right to become children of God. Remember how your story has been changed, your future changed, your past forgotten, paid for, your present, your future paid for by the blood of Jesus. You are not a child of God if you're not a child of God, or have not ever heard of this idea of adoption by God, I encourage you this morning, plead with you even, receive today the right to become a child of God. You have that extended to you today. God with open hands saying, I want you. Come and enjoy what it means to change your nature, change your disposition, and become a son and daughter of the King. You have the ability to take that right. It's extended to us today. And here's the beauty. There's no exchange or get better or fix this or that. We're not asking you. God's not asking you to come to like 3 months of church before you do that. It's just receive. Lavished love, love unthinkable, love sacrificial, love that never fails. Let me finish by reading Galatians 4 again. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. As we transition to communion, I want you to just spend some time in reflection on this. I want you to think about your adoption story. When did God see you, pick you up, bring you in, and remake you? When did he change your nature, change your disposition? And I want you just to sit in that beautiful story for a second. When you opened your hands and you received the right to become a child of the King. And then I just want you to thank him for that. Spend some time in thankfulness for that, and then we will move to communion.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning for Jesus. We thank you that you have looked at us and said, I want you. I will spare no expense to have you, to be a part of my family. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would change our hearts, that you would show us the depth of the riches of being children of God. Lord, I thank you that you remind us that as we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness because we have been given the righteousness of Jesus. We thank you for this amazing gift this morning as children of God. We ask this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.